Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, notice, if thou seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as for a hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Amen. We've been talking about that first principle of Bible study, which I defined and many others defined as observation, and how that even in our very first steps, we understand as a child, before we understand logic and reason, before we understand every dot and tittle that is in the scriptures itself, we understand very much by just simply observing the Word of God. If you're going to study, the first step in proper study is observation. That means just simply looking at it and to keep looking at it. And then to look at it some more and try to discern exactly what it is before you. I said with the physical eyes, we're used to doing that. We're used to looking around and observing things. And I used the example of children, babies in particular. Before they know anything, they learn through observation. They come to better skills, even to understanding of logic and reason, by first observing. I said, I used the example of crying. They get hungry, they cry. They don't know why you come when they cry, but they're hungry, and you come when they cry, so they keep crying, right? And they start to make associations with that. They cry real loud, they get picked up. So when I'm hungry, I cry. And they learn that. And you know, the little manipulators, you know, we're born in sin, right? You know, they know what they're doing. Little liars, that's what I call them. You know, ah, you pick them up. Yeah. You know, they're lying to you. They just went their way. Anyway, we understand that way. As children, that's the way we come to better understanding. That's no different for a child of God. We are to observe what God has placed. Study. He didn't say read. He said study. It is talking about applying yourself, putting in energy, even a desperate push to learn something. So don't just say, well, I read my Bible. I'm guilty of that, not defining that. So have you read your Bible today? Have you studied your Bible today? Amen. That's the real issue. And it sometimes may be inconvenient. Pastors have the privilege of sometimes finding a couple hours solid to study their Bible, I hope. But sometimes, too, we'll read a scripture and we may meditate on that scripture. What does that mean? That's a wonderful exercise. That's a spiritual exercise. Amen. And other scriptures begin to come to mind. You say, you know, I got to look at that further. When I get it, not you, brother. You just keep driving, you know. But I'm going to say, when you get time and you can pull over, you know, you start looking at those scriptures. And I always carry a notepad. I was a serviceman for a natural gas company. And something to come to mind, man, I'd be writing notes down. I'd be driving along trying to write something down. But then when I got a break, I would look. What we look and what we see. Last night, I mentioned a story that R.A. Torrey told of a professor with a young fellow in his science class. Told him to go study this fish. He said, when you've mastered it, bring it back. The young man says, well, I think I pretty much figured it out. He brought it back, and the guy gave him the fish back. He said, I'll go and study it some more. And that went on, and it went on, and went on. And what that professor did is he taught that young man there is more in his perceptive skills. And you need to define and you need to refine those skills. Let me tell you, a little child can read this book and he can observe truth. He may not understand it all. He may not understand very much, or she may not understand very much. But I'm going to tell you, little ones, you listen to Brother Donnie Knight. You read your Bible, you'll learn things that you cannot imagine. Things not just about this world, but in the world to come. Things that eyes have not beheld yet, but yet God in this word, he'll show you things. Amen. It's exciting to read this book. Amen. It's glorious to read this book. And we don't know how possibly glorious it will be at times when we sit down just to simply take time to look and to study and observe God's word. A young man learned a lesson, and I couldn't help but to think as I thought about that lesson, thought about now telling the story. We're far enough away from lunch, I think I can. I aggravated all the math teachers last night, so so now I'm going to work on the lab text now. How many of you remember, I don't know if they still do it or not, this, what do they call them, snowflake society we live in? I don't even know if you're allowed to. Do they still dissect frogs in science class? You remember that? You remember doing that? How many of you did that? You people are gross, I tell you. That was one of my favorites. You know, we took that frog, we identified its part. We identified its eyes, its body, its skin, its toes. Frogs got toes. Don't you tell me they don't. I've seen them. Learned a lot of what kind even that frog was. It was a bullfrog. At least the one I did was. It was a big old thing, man. You know, I mean, it took up a whole science tray, you know. I remember that. But the next thing we did after we did all that, we skinned that sucker. Did you do that? I mean, we skinned his drawers. We just pulled that skin back, took him all the way down, and we seen his muscle structure. And, you know, I didn't know anything about science, you know. I'm just doing what the guy told me to do, you know. You take that thing and you spare it. And, you know, we pulled that down and we began to cut it back. And we began to see various muscles. And it was revealing in those muscles, as we took them back, we began to see tendons, you know, and ligaments and things I'd never seen before. You know, and it was all right there. It was a matter of discovery, though. I had to be shown how to do that, and I went a little bit further. We cut that back, and we got down to the skeleton, and we began to see how the skeleton was structured. Let me tell you, folks, it was all there. I just never seen it before, and when we took that skeleton and the skeleton structure, and then we removed the various organ parts. Remember that? Now, that part I didn't like so much. You know, I'm just to be honest with you. But we seen veins and we seen arteries. We seen the inner workings. And then we started dissecting those parts and looking under microscopes at them. And then even after that, we took them parts, started cutting them parts up, started putting them in little dishes and started watching them from day to day under a microscope. And we began to see bacteria form and we began to see other activities going on. And why I'm saying about that is I learned a whole lot just by observing. And you know what that teacher did after we observed and we gathered all the information about that frog? It's pretty different. He said, I want you to tell me all about this frog. Well, you know, by the time we got done, we could tell him a lot about that frog. But after he got all done, we took all that information, gave all that information, did reports, and he began to teach us then. And I learned things that I still remember to this day that have influenced me in the natural realm. And I want to tell you, you take your Bible and you begin to peel it back and you begin to look at it from this angle and you begin to look at it from that angle and you begin to see more. And about the time you think you've seen it all, you say, well, wait a minute, what about this? And you look at that. And then when the preacher preaches, guess what happens? God shows you what it means. He begins to reel the in-depthness of it. You say, well, I've seen that over there, but I didn't understand it. Praise God. Amen. It's a glorious thing. Study. Study. What a glorious thing, as we said last night, that God has given us a book that is glorious, magnificent, as far as the information is untold that we'll never discover at all in this life. It talks about things unseen to the eyes, things beyond that God doesn't even bother trying to tell us about his thoughts. And yet we see that and God says, but I want to tell you something. I gave you this book so you can understand it. To the little child or to the most matured saint, to those who were highly educated, and to those with no education at all. God gave us a book And on top of us giving us that book, he promised and gave us his Spirit to guide us and to interpret and to show us and to lead us into that truth. It's not a matter of just mere intellectualism. It's not a matter of IQ. I want to tell you, it's a matter of work. To apply yourself to work. I worked for a guy right out of high school. He was a tile layer. And he always made me go with him. I knew his two sons, and his sons ran another crew. And I always went with him. That guy was a multimillionaire. He did apartment buildings. We'd do 8 apartments, a bath and a half, do the kitchenette part of the floor and the wall tiles in the bathroom and all that. We'd do 8 of those in a day. But this guy could put some tile down. He said, you just keep the tiles coming. And he talked with the lisp, couldn't talk real good. He was from down the hills of Kentucky, and he couldn't read or write. And he'd say, now there goes that vinegar. He'd say, you signed the checks. I said, you're going to trust me? We have paid all that tile. I mean, there were thousands of dollars. And I'd write that. He said, I might not be real smart. He said, but I ain't stupid. I want to tell you, I'm a Baptist. We ain't going to be seen as real smart sometimes. But we ain't stupid. And the reason we're not is because we're a people of the book. This worldly wisdom, intellectual wisdom, let me tell you, I believe in higher education. I believe getting all the education you can get. And if you know me, you know I need it. But nevertheless, we don't bank on those things. But God does bless in those things. And if you apply yourself to the study of God's word, I assure you, you will learn great truths from his word. You receive great promise. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall, what? Know the truth. The truth shall set you free. It's a lot of way into context, but one thing I love about that verse is it tells me I can know the truth. I don't have to second guess about it. I don't have to wonder about it. When there's a necessity laid upon my life and the decision making, whether for me or in the church or for my family, if I will seek the Lord, just like the writer in Proverbs said, if I'll search for his treasure, as I'll lay out before the Lord, as I'll apply myself to study to find that truth, I just have enough confidence that God will show me. And he has time and time again. When I didn't have the answer, when I didn't have the insight, when I or the even all the men of the church didn't have an answer, we knew God did. We knew where we was going to find it. We was going to find it by his Spirit, in his word, and that's what we set forth to do, is to diligently find it in his word. So what is involved in proper Bible observation? In the study of God's word. My whole purpose in this message is pretty much what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. And I just shared that. This is my hope. It was the hope in the church when I taught it. It's a hope here in at least in some small manner that you might see this, that it might excite you, that you might pick up your Bible more readily, that you might not fear or not begrudge and think, well, you know, I just don't get a lot out of it. Well, you're not reading enough then. Maybe you need to read more. You know, I get tired. You know, well, that's true. I get tired. You know, my wife says you need to go out and walk more. I said, honey, that just makes me tired. Well, it will for a while, maybe. Then it builds you up, right? The devil's going to do everything he can to keep you away from this book, folks. I'm going to tell you. He don't want you to know this book. He wants you to stay away from this book. It's what this book is used by God to do. You see, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We can go on and on. You look what he does with this word. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said this concerning the saints at Ephesus, down in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That's what Paul wanted him to know. That's what I want my church to know. That's what the saints of this church, and I know the pastor would want the saints of this church to know. You know, through observation, we experience not only our first steps to understanding of the scriptures, but just like a child, you know, after a child takes those first steps, they take more steps. Matter of fact, you hope they keep taking steps the rest of their life. It's no different with the child of God. We got to do the basic things that we've understood. We got to keep observing in the scriptures. You'll never understand all that's there. So there's something new. It's new every day, right? We keep searching the scriptures and God keeps showing us more and more and more. I'm 61 years old. It amazed me. Brother Joe, you still learning anything? Amen. And it's glorious, isn't it? Still like that little child. It's like the first time God showed me something out of his word. I run upstairs and tell Karen, I say, hey, Karen, you got to see this. Let me share this with you, what God showed me. It's exciting when God, through his word and by his spirit, reveals the truth to you. And it's simply many times by just sitting down and observing what is there. I got a farm. By the way, anybody wants to buy a farm? It's in Blue Licks, Kentucky. Not too far from Mays Lick, closer to Maysville. It's out in the country. It's about 18 miles away from Maysville. In fact, it's about an hour and 10 minutes away from Lexington. As best I can figure out, it's about 45 minutes from Cynthiana, and it's about 35 minutes from, well, Flemingsburg. Everybody knows where all those places are. But what I'm trying to tell you is, I love it out there because it's dark. Anybody like to get away from the city lights? Now, you might be more familiar. You're a little bit further away from Clarksville and all that. But the further you get away from the cities, the clearer the sky becomes. Amen. And we got a place. I loved it. You can sit out on the back. And I don't have a bunch of land, but it backs up to about 3,000 acres of woods in a big valley. And it's all landlocked. Yeah, I hunt. But anyway, on those dark nights when I would wait till the kids went to bed, and I've always loved it, but they would go to bed, you know, and we'd turn off down the lights and the TV and all that or whatever else was on. And I tell my wife, I said, I'm going out the deck. You want to go out? She said, well, I got a few things I need to do. I said, all right, well, I'm going to turn the lights off. I turn all the lights in the house off, pull all the shades. Yeah, you turn all the lights in the house off, you still got all these electronic lights everywhere anymore. I'd go out and get my lounge chair on the deck, and I'd just sit back and lay that chair back. And I mean, you could literally see my nearest neighbor at the back on the far ridge was over 7 miles away. And you could literally see, as you laid there, the longer you laid there, guess what? The more stars you seen. And you know, and you lay there and you keep, I mean, I'm laying there. This is not real hard. I'm laying there just trying to focus. And you know, and I started studying, getting books, and I would look. And it was a really strange thing. I didn't notice it for about the first month after we moved out there. But I mean, on these crystal clear nights, I'd look up, and there was this one section up in the sky that just kind of looked like a cloud, murky. You know, and I got my wife one time. I said, come here, I want you to look at this. I said, look at this. I said, it's clear every time. I said, you can see there's just the brightest stars everywhere. I said, but look up there at that one little cloud. Well, I started looking. You know, when I first moved out, there wasn't a whole lot of internet and stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you what I finally found out. That was the Milky Way. And you know, I was so excited about that. I found the Milky Way. I started talking, you know, well, I started looking at books. And you see, just simply by observing, I learned a lot. Let me tell you, you don't have to be an astronomer to enjoy the stars. Amen. And you don't have to be a theologian to come see marvelous truths in this book. Amen. But I do want to tell you this, you may become a pretty proficient theologian if you'll spend some time observing this book. Some of the most practical theologians I know were people that just simply loved to spend time in God's Word. My grandpa, my grandma, and many others. You know, there's just a couple things I want to tell you, and I'm going to close. A couple of passages of Scripture that really struck me. I just want you to know that you can know God's Word better than you believe that you can. And I'm going to tell you, in the day and times that we live, we need to get all of it we can. Yes. Amen. This observation is your step. It's a first step. Your pastor and your Sunday school teachers, they're here to help you with that information that you gather. I've never seen any pastor resent anybody come and say, "Pastor, I don't know what all this means, but I want you to give me some kind of interpretation. Give me something that I can work with. I see all this and it's glorious to me. I know the truth's there, but Pastor, could you help me?" And we say, "No, go away, I'm too busy." No, no. We glory in that. I mean, that's why we're here. It's our purpose to help. So I leave this idea of interpretation and in the application between you and your pastor and the Lord. Observations, all I want to try to encourage you with. Psalms 119, it says this whole chapter, you know, speaks about the Word of God. We've heard from Solomon in Proverbs, wisest man that ever lived. He said, "Man, search it. Search for it. Seek it." It says here in Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open down my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." It's not talking about the Ten Commandments there. We know that. It's talking about God's Word. So open my eyes. Let me observe it. When you pray, remember, this is not just a book. Remember, you're coming into a spiritual realm, a spiritual storehouse, a spiritual treasure. And the one who holds the key to it is God Almighty, the Spirit of God. You seek Him and you apply yourself to observe, to study, to show thyself approved unto God. And the reward is that God will reward you with treasures of the knowledge and wisdom that can only come of Him. Amen. The heaviest reading I did before the Lord got my life straightened out was the sports section. I can't believe the books that in support of trying to study this book better, the Lord has brought me to read. And they're all in support of one thing, that I can better observe, that I can better interpret, that I can better apply, not just in my life, but in the lives of the people that God's put under my watch care. Let me tell you this about observation. The best observation in the world, you need to understand. You know, when I was out looking at them stars, now this, I know this is going to let you down, but when I was out there looking at them stars and all that I learned, I never put one star in the sky. I didn't say, "Hey, honey, come here, look at this star I put up there." No, if I discovered something, I told her, I said, "Come here and look at this, what God has done." In my observation and yours, we can go into exegesis and eisegesis, but in your observation of the Scriptures, don't ever try to put anything into them that's not there. There's enough there already for you to discover. You don't need to do that. So we understand it through this observation. I won't take the time. I'll just tell you. When instead of the stars, we look for who's there, who's speaking, what are they speaking about, who are they speaking about? We begin to look, instead of stars and the moon and all these things, and we look at scriptures, we begin to look, is this an exhortation? Or is this poetry? Or what type of literature is this? Is this a consolation as we're looking out at the stars? Just like we do. And then when we discover that, you'll discover more. You know, I thought it was pretty cool when I discovered the Milky Way. You can tell anybody. Brother Burford discovered the Milky Way. I did over my house. But anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. You know, as a little child, when I began to see the moon and recognize things about the moon, and you observe the moon and that full moon and all those different things. But then as I grew older and I began to observe more, I began to understand more about the moon, and I began to find its place in the order of the things of God in nature. The gravitational pulls. What about that big star we call the sun? You know, as a child, I just thought that was fascinating. You know, there's a sun up there. Man, that thing's warm. But now you understand more as you grow, the more you've observed over the years about that, you come to a better natural. It's no different with spiritual things. The folks, I'll read this and close, Acts 17. The folks, I always try to give an example. We've already talked much about Jesus' leading and how he told them, come and see. Come and observe. But here we see a passage. I believe these were Jews that were coming to the faith in this passage, glorious passage. And they were coming to the faith and they'd listened to the preaching. And as they had listened to the preaching, the hearing of the preaching, you know what they did? They wanted to observe it for themselves. So they went to where? Well, where, if you want to observe stars, you go out in the yard and look. If you want to observe the truth of God, you go to the book and look. So what did they do in this passage? It says in Acts 17, 11, it says, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness of mind and lotus and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. What was the result of their observation? This is the way God works. He works in the lost like this, and he will work in the saved. He took their observations of the scriptures and he used it to bring them to faith in him. Through observing, they went to the scriptures to see if these facts, these details were there, and they found them there, and God used merely that observation, their studies, to draw them into himself. Therefore, many of them believed. They seen it. They seen it. They seen the truth of God. They heard it preached. They went and they observed it. They studied, they found it, God by his Spirit revealed it to them, and they were saved. People are going to observe it before they'll ever hear it. I tell you, I've seen some glorious things because I spend a lot of time, as much time as I possibly can, in the woods. That's my wife's insistence. Many a time I've come home, she'll say, you need to go to the woods. And she was right, you know. I'd get my four-wheeler just piled off. But she knows how I love it. I mean, I'd get up and always did. My mom used to wake me up. If there was going to be a special meteor shower or something, my mom would make sure that I got up for it because she knew how I'd be excited. Oh, how exciting to do observation. These are the same principles that are involved in nature. That's what God put in nature there. It's a witness, isn't it? Many of those same principles that operate in nature, just like the child observing, you know, well, it works. Well, Karen told me one night, she said, well, there's supposed to be this real, I was reading about this. She said, it's really going to be a special meteor shower. She said, there's supposed to be like 300 observable meters within an hour. You know, and it's supposed to last over like 3 hours. It was during the week, man. I got up and stuff, and I said, well, wake me up. One of them cool, crisp, you know, days when the frost is laying on the ground. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. She woke me up. She said, your stupid meteor shower is about to start.
I
said, okay. And I drug up and got me. And I went outside. And I don't know why I didn't sit on the porch. But I thought maybe if I got away from the house, you could see all the way around you. So I went way out in the backyard. And I took a bucket, 5-gallon bucket. And I sit there. I had a cup of coffee. And I started drinking that coffee. And I began to see these meteors. And I'd seen a lot of meteors in my life. But they weren't coming mostly straight down. They were coming on an angle, like from west to east. And as I sit there, I mean, it was like somebody was just pouring more and more of them out. And it began to increase. I get excited about these things. I think God shows his glory and majesty even sometimes just simply in nature. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, this is, I don't know if you've ever experienced it. Maybe you need to spend more time out observing. But this one comet went, I heard it go, shh. I thought, well, you're going crazy now. A little bit later, I heard another one, shh. And then I started to hear, I went up, and our bedroom window was up high, the back of the house exposed, and there's a big broom there, and I start beating on the window of the house. She comes, what in the world? I said, you got to come out here. She says, it's 3:00 in the morning. I'm not going. I said, Karen, just come out here. You've got to see this. You won't believe this. And she came out. A couple minutes, she got a bucket, was sitting by me in the middle of the backyard too. I want to tell you something. That pastor, this pastor, Brother Joe, some of you, Brother Grigsby, some of you on your own have done it. I would tell you, when we get in the pulpit, I just get to get up there and I get to share with you what God showed me. That I've went in, I've spent some time in his word. I went in and observed, and he's blessed and he's shown his truth. And I get to come to church. And I get to share it with the saints of God. I get to tell you what God said, but I also get to tell you and warn you sometimes. How blessed are we, brother, to get to share those truths. And it's nothing in us. All we work and we apply ourselves and we spend that time. But God in his grace shows us this truth. You ever get a little taste of it, that pastor will never have to exhort you again to study your Bible more. Amen. Holy Spirit begins to show you and to help you to learn. You'll on your own want to see more and more. You'll be saying, Brother Jim, I do this and I do this. What else can I do to better observe? What can I do to better learn? What exactly is all there? I know it's there. I see some of it, but I don't see it. And he'll help you. And if he can't help you, he'll find you help. That's what I have to do sometimes. Study. You look what it says. 15, the only time that search, they search the scriptures, that's the only time it's translated. That says that they interrogated the scriptures. They investigated the scriptures. They gained all the prior knowledge that they could before they could come to a determination of what it was really saying. You ever heard that in court cases? You gather prior information and they bring all that in and they look at all those details and then they start trying to say, no, here's what it must mean. I pray that just one of you maybe a little one that's listening, that you would learn just to study to show thyself approved unto God. You never know what God would do with this church of the saints of God would give themselves the more study of his word.